Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Today, the U.S. Supreme Court heard a very important case that could ultimately overturn abortion. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, I know there's been a lot of talk, and we're very excited at the potential of this case actually overturning Roe versus Wade. That was the decision in 1973 that legalized abortion, and since then, more than 62 million babies have given their lives as a result.
Yeah, and in fact, the Supreme Court actually accepted question one during the review of its petition by the state of Mississippi. Question one is asking the justices to re-examine the viability standard decided in Roe v. Wade some 48 years ago in 1973, and in Planned Parenthood versus Casey, and also another decision in 2016. So in this particular fact that they've actually requested oral argument on this and briefing on, it's a big decision. Why? Because the lower courts, relying upon this past Supreme Court precedent that I just cited, and the Court of Appeals also reluctantly siding with the Supreme Court precedent against the Mississippi law, they ultimately followed the Supreme Court's direction, right?
Right.
So the Supreme Court did not have to get involved because the lower courts followed the multiple decades of Supreme Court precedent. But the fact that they're now asking the high court to review that precedent and the Supreme Court actually accepts the case, that's significant. Now, you need four justices to take a case for review. You obviously need five justices or a majority to actually decide a case in whatever favor you're deciding it. So there obviously were four justices that were wanting to take this case. But in this case, since it's such an important one, I suspect that the four would not vote to take it unless they could think that they would count a potential fifth vote.
Right. Well, we know Clarence Thomas. He's spoken very loudly about that they need to revisit the Roe case, you know, in previous decisions. So we know that he has to be one of those.
Yeah, I think so. So in fact, here's the question. Let me read it to you. It's a little long, a little legalese, but you'll get an idea of what it is really involved in. This is the question that the Supreme Court was asked to review. And I'll read it. Whether the Fifth Circuit correctly concluded that a Mississippi statute banning abortion after 15 weeks, months before viability, is unconstitutional under nearly 50 years of precedent, holding that it is unconstitutional to ban abortion before viability. Now, wait a minute. Let me pause. They're asking the court whether the lower court correctly concluded that a Mississippi statute banning abortion before viability was correct, and that the lower court actually relied upon 50 years of precedent by the Supreme Court holding that it is unconstitutional to ban abortion before viability. Well, that question almost answered itself. Mm-hmm. If the lower court followed the Supreme Court's precedent that you can't ban abortion before viability, then why would the Supreme Court take the case unless they want to re-examine their precedent? And that's why I think this case is so important.
Absolutely. You know, in the case, Dobbs versus Jackson's Women's Health is, as you stated, about a Mississippi law that was enacted in 2018 that prohibits abortion after 15 weeks gestation, except in a medical emergency and in cases of severe fetal abnormality. The law also prohibits a physician from performing an abortion without first determining the probable gestational age of the unborn child. And of course, science has shown us, it's usually by 6 weeks, I believe, that we know there's a heartbeat and we know, you know, that baby is alive.
Right. So viability typically is going to be around 22 weeks, could be 23 weeks. And viability really is more of a medical situation as opposed to the viability of the actual child. It doesn't mean that the child is inhuman or human. In fact, they're human from the moment of conception.
Right.
They have unique DNA, and all that is different is time. The cells replicate, and they grow into small little babies and larger adults. There's no difference other than time.
Right.
So the viability, actually, in terms of when a child is able to live outside of the womb, that depends upon medical technology.
Right.
And in fact, viability at the time of Roe versus Wade back in 1973 was going to be in your 24th, 25th, 26th week. In fact, 24 weeks would be very early back then. But as medical technology advances, viability gets closer and closer because of technology able to sustain the baby outside of the mother's womb. So viability is not a medical term, really. It's not a legal term. It really depends upon the technology that's available, because it can actually vary around the world based upon the lack of technology or the presence of technology.
Right, because now you see the baby's first picture is a sonogram where you see that child moving around and jumping around and sucking its thumb. But we didn't have
that. And if that's not a human, then what is?
That's right. We didn't have that 48 years ago
No.
where you saw that. So
what we did have 48 years ago is the 1965 historic Life magazine photos mm-hmm. of the baby in the womb. And those were significant. That was 1965. And that was Life magazine. We have two original copies of those magazines. And some of that was done by a very innovative in vitro flash photography.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing photographs from conception up until late second, early third trimester in the womb. So they knew about this. But the Supreme Court in 1973 said, well, we don't need to decide whether this is a human being. We're going to punt that question. Well, no, that is the question. Is this a human being? The answer is clearly yes. Science has clearly concluded it is a human being. And in fact, it is a human being from the moment of conception.
And of course, Liberty Counsel, we filed an amicus brief in this case saying that abortion is unconstitutional, it violates the right to life, and it supports racist eugenics.
Yeah, in fact,
it's
this whole racist,
amicus brief.
It's a very powerful amicus brief. I encourage you to go read it. In fact, you can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, and you'll be able to find it there under the title of abortion. Find that on the bottom of the website, and you'll be able to read it. But this particular case really focus, our brief focuses on the racist eugenic history of abortion.
Right. We represent more than 70,000 African American and Hispanic churches and millions of African Americans and Hispanic Americans across the U.S. in this particular amicus brief.
Yeah. And so if you go back to Charles Darwin, his book, Origin of the Species, you always stop at that title. But the full title is The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life.
You just said the quiet part out loud with that title, you know.
Yeah, The Preservation of Favored Races.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, Charles Darwin wanted to ultimately eliminate certain races that were not favored because he thought that that would help the evolution of humanity. And that, of course, was shared by people such as Adolf Hitler. But with regards to abortion, people like Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood.
She idolized both of them.
She did. And in fact, she wanted to eliminate certain races. And she wanted to eliminate the black and other minority races, among others who were disabled, people that had epilepsy and low IQ, in her view. She wanted to eliminate them as part of this whole evolutionary model that she bought into. And so that's why she started these contraceptive clinics in these minority neighborhoods to stop the procreation of these minorities. And then when abortion came on the scene, she then added abortion. And even today, Holly, the majority of her abortion clinics of Planned Parenthood is located in these various minority communities.
Right, and you see more black babies aborted every year because of that.
Yeah, and so you have this racist eugenics history, and what we have shown is that the Supreme Court has put its stamp of approval on that racism and eugenic history. They did it with the forced sterilization case, the Buck versus Bell case, 1927. They did it with abortion in 1973. They've reaffirmed it. And so what we are asking the court to do is distance itself, close the chapter on that history. It's a horrible history, and it has no basis in the Constitution, and overturn Roe versus Wade and all the abortion precedent, and return this country to a country that respects the sanctity of human life. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776.